that moment, it's difficult when you realize that your mother's probably more clear and articulate than you are. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and it's her birthday today. Luckily, I can't remember. like Simon's in the... No. yeah, forgiving ourselves. As you've heard from my mum's story, it's obviously quite a difficult subject, but I'm going to do my best to talk through this. And really, I'm not really going to rely on myself at all. I'm going to rely a lot on what the Bible says, hopefully. So I'm a bit off the hook. But I suppose, I mean, there's a few questions maybe we need to have around in our heads when we think about forgiving ourselves. I mean, do you still, for instance, do you still beat yourself up over, you know, that person that you never met up with? Or do you beat yourself up over that promise that you never kept? Do you still regret that friend that you hurt? Or do you still, you know, or that thing you never said to that person that maybe passed away? There's a lot of different kind of things. There's a manner of things that we do, say, think, lots of things that I suppose we regret and can have guilt over. And even though we've asked God to forgive us, we still don't forgive ourselves for a lot of these things that have maybe happened. We don't let ourselves move on. We kind of hold on. Whether we want to, sometimes we want to, sometimes we don't want to, but we sometimes hold on to guilt as well. We don't forgive ourselves just as God has already said that he has forgiven us. I've been reading a little bit around this subject, and it's quite interesting when you read it or when you try and also Google it on the internet, which is a dangerous thing to do anyway when you Google anything. But when you Google this subject, forgiving yourself, it's quite interesting. A lot of people believe that you shouldn't actually be able to forgive yourself. That it's not actually biblical to forgive yourself, which is something I'd actually disagree with. And a lot of those arguments would be around the argument that God is the only one that can forgive you. And that is absolutely true. Indeed, God is the only one that can ultimately, without a doubt, absolutely forgive you for your sins. But the purpose of what I'm going to say today is not that we forgive ourselves outside of God's forgiveness. The purpose isn't that we go ahead and forgive ourselves for something we've done without coming to God with that thing or that guilt. They're both intertwined. I'm talking about a situation where God has actually forgiven you, has declared forgiveness over you, wants you to move on, but you don't. You refuse, that situation where you refuse actually to let yourself be free. God wants you to feel the forgiveness that in fact he's already granted you in reality. So from the outset, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not... As I've said at the start, this is all going to be about kind of showing you maybe a few bits and pieces in the Bible, and we can see from different people and what they did and how they did it. Might be able to tell us a little bit about forgiveness and what forgiving yourself might look like. But I'm also not going to be able to tell you practically, like really practically, exactly how you yourself are going to forgive yourself. That's something that God is going to have to do in your own heart. And that's something that, I mean, there's loads of different things that can be done. But I won't be able to tell you personally probably exactly how you're going to be able to forgive yourself if there's something that's resting on your heart. But hopefully when we look at the different bits and pieces, we'll be able to see different things. As I say, hopefully we'll be able to see from the lives of people in the Bible that they also struggled with forgiving themselves at times, and it sometimes held them back as well. But we'll start, actually have a new thing. We're going to start firstly with God and how he sees forgiving yourself and how important he believes forgiving yourself is. Damn. Right, so forgiving yourself is really, really important. I believe there's actually three things they're equally important, actually, when it comes to the idea of forgiveness as a whole. And I find this very easy to forget the third one. So when we think about forgiveness, you know, you've got accepting God's forgiveness. So God has said he forgives you and you accept it. There's forgiving others, which Simon addressed last week. And then there is forgiving ourselves, that third one that sometimes we forget to deal with. Luke 6:37 says this. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. I'm not to judge others. I'm not to condemn others. Logically, that should mean that I don't judge or condemn myself, because God's already promised not to condemn me. If I continue to judge myself for things that I've done, I'm effectively saying that God is saying, or I'm effectively saying that God saying that I'm forgiven isn't actually enough. Does that make sense? So if I continue to hold on, I'm not saying that what God has said is enough. So we must forgive ourselves. But I don't want you to misunderstand me. That's not me saying it's easy, because it's very, 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 very difficult. And God also knows this. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. God is gracious, God is kind, and knows how difficult all manner of things in life are, including the idea of forgiving yourself. But at the same time, we need to know that it is a very, very serious issue. And it's not actually an optional extra. We do need to forgive ourselves and set and allow ourselves to be free of guilt and regret. And the Apostle Paul, I'm going to mention him a couple of times this afternoon. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 4 says this. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Paul doesn't let how others feel about him govern how he feels about himself. He also says he doesn't even judge himself. In other words, he's so free from guilt over his past that he will refuse to go somewhere that God has already dealt with. And remember, this is from a man who, in his previous life as Saul, before he became Paul, tortured and killed Christians. If Saul is forgiven and God declared it as such, Paul refuses to then judge himself as a result. He's refusing to feel guilty. He's also accepting that when God says he's forgiven, he is actually forgiven. He's trusting in what God has already said over him. Now, I realize, again, this is not easy, especially when you're feeling deep hurt over something, or if you may have done something that's caused pain to friends or family, or if you've been wrestling with guilt for years and years and years and years. It can be very, very hard to let go. If things have been done to you, if there's hurt that has been carried over from things that have been done to you and you're still carrying baggage, very difficult to let go of guilt. But it is something that God wants and God requires of us. He wants to set you free. He has declared you free and wants you to forgive yourself. So what does it mean to forgive ourselves? Now, I don't know everyone's circumstance in this room at all, but God does. And it's a safe bet that there's people in here that feel very, very guilty at the thought of forgiving yourself. You don't know what I've done. It was absolutely awful what I did. I do not deserve any forgiveness. I must pay for what I've done. Actually, we run into some of the same problems, and we touched on this last week as well. You run into sort of the same problems when you're trying to forgive others as well. We worry and afraid that they're not going to get the justice that we deem that they deserve. To forgive them sets them free, meaning they won't necessarily be punished in the way that we thought they should be. And that doesn't sit very well. And forgiving ourselves, and this is the thing, this is what it means to forgive yourself. Forgiving ourselves means you not only let yourself off the hook, but we also set ourselves free from any sense of punishment. And we look to Paul again for this. He allowed himself to be free and free of any worry that he might be punished for the things he had done before he met Jesus. Philippians 3, we've probably read this a few times, but it's magnificent. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't only forgiven, he had forgiven himself. He knew he couldn't fulfill, actually, what God wanted him to do. He couldn't strain towards the goal that God had set for him. He couldn't do that unless he actually allowed himself to be free, as God had already commanded. And there's another man who couldn't actually do what God wanted him to do before he allowed himself to be free. And that man was Peter. And we're going to show quick little video. I think we've shown this before, but it illustrates it quite well how, just the situation Peter was in. Now, Peter, for those who need reminding or haven't heard, when Jesus was arrested, Peter, almost his lead disciple, denied that he knew Jesus as Jesus was being arrested. Jesus was then crucified, and he felt terrible, obviously. And in this clip, or in this skit, so this is just as Jesus has risen from the dead, and this is the conversation that himself and Peter have.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, his crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive! I can't believe you're alive! Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman, I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it. All right. Okay.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is.
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
Just obviously to fill you in, Peter is obviously the name that Jesus gave Simon. So Peter being given the name, or being Jesus saying the name Peter, was obviously a huge deal, because Peter realized at that point that Jesus had truly forgiven him and he could move on. And I'll talk a little bit in a bit exactly what then happened to Peter as a result of that, and what happened as a result of him actually finally forgiving himself. So why should we forgive ourselves? Because God wants you to do it. God wants you to forgive yourself. But we ask ourselves, you know, is it not too good to be true to have God totally forgive us? Is it not too good to be true that as the skit, Jesus in the skit said, that his death on the cross would actually be enough to forgive us? Is it not too good to be true that we are now blameless in Jesus' sight? You know what? It's actually a sin against God to not forgive ourselves. In much the same way as God tells us not to be bitter or twisted or to hold a grudge and not forgive others, he tells us it's the same when we talk about ourselves and forgiving ourselves. God didn't create us to hate ourselves, and sometimes we're actually hesitant to like and love ourselves, and it's actually kind of silly. God does want us to love ourselves. Matthew 19, Jesus says, he commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. There's an kind of an implication there that we're to love ourselves and not hate ourselves. God wants us to forgive ourselves, but apart from, you know, that we should love ourselves, why else should we do it? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God wants us to be free. Again, we're meant to be free. We will only truly be free if we forgive ourselves. Why else? Well, you know what? If we forgive ourselves as well, we'll love people more. We'll love people more. I touched a little bit on it earlier, a couple of seconds ago. People find it okay to say they hate themselves a lot of the time. And as I say, God didn't make you to hate yourself. Again, the commandment is to love your neighbors as yourselves. It's very normal to love yourself. Now, not in a self-righteous, I'm greater than God, greater than everyone else, kind of mad, you know, obsessive, arrogant kind of love. But you are to love yourselves, or we are to love ourselves. Those who don't forgive themselves often don't like themselves. And it's not surprising that then, as a result, they don't like others. And when you forgive yourself, I find your perception of others changes. It's easier to love people when you've forgiven yourself. And you look at yourself differently as well. We'll also be surprised at how much easier it is to get involved in people's lives and love people and get alongside people in their worries and their problems when you've actually forgiven yourself. It's quite logical, I think, that if you're so worried about your own issues and your own problems and the things that are weighing you down and the things you haven't forgiven yourself for, you won't actually have room in your life to love and care for others as God actually commands us to. We must love ourselves, but also have room for others as well. Paul said this in Ephesians 2, verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's important to be able to love others, and we'll only do that, again, if we forgive ourselves. It'll also bring confidence to forgive ourselves, and this is where Peter comes back in. 7 weeks or a few weeks after that interaction, and as we read about when we did our Acts series not very many weeks ago now, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, Peter was so confident in front of thousands of people in declaring Jesus as Lord and Savior and risen, that it actually baffled everyone how confident he was and how amazingly confident in what God had given him he was. And this was only possible, I believe, because Peter had, at that stage, forgiven himself and had truly accepted what Jesus had told him. When we know we are forgiven, people, I believe, will see it in us, and God can use us, and people will want what we have as well. So, God sees forgiving ourselves as really, really important. We've also talked about what it means to actually forgive ourselves, and we've also talked about some of the reasons forgiving yourself might actually be a good idea. But finally, and again, I'm not going to go into too much intricate detail on this, how do we forgive ourselves? There's this lovely quote from Rick Warren. He's a famous preacher and leader of Saddleback Church over in the US. He's also written the book many of you may have read, Purpose Driven Life and Purpose Driven Church. And he says this, you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. As I'm not going to tell you practically exactly how you yourself are going to be able to forgive yourself, but you are loved and you are wonderfully made. And you were made with a purpose, with your flaws, with your mistakes, with your baggage. You are loved And this is what actually makes sense when we read scripture. Until you truly know you are loved by God, you will struggle to forgive yourself. Now, this might take a lot of prayer. It might take a lot of talking, working it out with friends, mentors, study groups, those sort of things. It might also take reading a lot of scripture. Seeing how the likes of, you know, there's people in the Bible, never mind Peter and Paul, but the likes in the Old Testament of David and Jacob, loads of people who had loads of baggage, who messed up loads of times, who struggled to forgive themselves. Lots of people who were used by God. They were still loved just much the same as we're still loved. They were forgiven just like we can be forgiven. So as the band come up, we're going to play a couple of songs, and there'll be time to pray and worship. There's also still, obviously, prayer bases around. The Forgive Yourself base is at the back corner, and it wasn't written by me, but it's funny how similar it is to some of the stuff that I've been saying. So if you want to kind of contemplate and think and pray, please do use that base at the back, any of the bases, really, but obviously linked to what I've been saying. The one at the back is fairly good, and that'll actually be open, obviously, till this evening as well. But again, as we sing, God does see you as clean. When we've come to him and asked for his forgiveness, he does see us as clean. And I encourage you not to argue with that. I encourage you not to take that back, because God has declared you free, and God has declared you clean because of Jesus and what he has done. You don't need to feel guilt. You don't need to feel shame. You don't need to feel bitterness. You don't actually have to hold on to anything that you're holding on to. So as we sing, let's try and do that.